Good morning. Thank you all for being here this morning. Mic turned on? Okay. Doesn't sound like it is to me, but it's different. We have a pretty good crowd here this morning. Brother Don and Sister Kelly are in Michigan, and so I'm filling in. There it is. Now I can hear. So I'm filling in for Brother Don this morning, and so thankful and happy to be here. My two-year-old granddaughter likes animals, and so we have this animal puzzle. It's an alphabet puzzle. When you put it together, it's this train, 26 cars long, and an animal for each car. And of course, one of them is a goose. So if you say, "You know, Anne, what is this? And what sound does this make?" She knows what sound a goose makes. God often points us to his creation and helping us understand his will for us. If we're tempted to be lazy, God directs us to the ant. "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest." Or if we worry, God encourages us to look at the birds and the flowers in the fields. Jesus said, "Look at the birds in the air, for they neither sow nor weep nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, neither spin nor toil." This morning, I would like us to consider one of God's creation, geese, to help us better understand his will for us. I think there's several lessons we can learn from geese. One lesson is that geese practice something called synergy. That word, most simply put, means working together, synergy. And geese do this when they fly. When they fly in formation, they form a V, and a flock of geese can travel twice as far as just one single bird. Synergy. Working together. And of course, the reason for that is they create an uplift. Each bird creates an uplift for the one behind it. And so they can go far. They can travel much farther than just one. We can learn something from this. Because in the church, the body of Christ, we are the body of Christ. We can achieve far greater things when we work together than we can by working each of us alone. So I think that's one thing that we can learn from one of God's creation is synergy, working together. When we share a common direction, we can get energy from each other. You know, it's interesting that Jesus always sent out his workers two by two. That was not a mistake. God's word says two are better than one. Because they have a good reward. NIV says a better return. I like that phrase better. For their labor. In other words, two working together can accomplish much more than just one. Why is that? Well, we can go back to the geese and find the answer to that. So, lesson two. Geese help each other when they fly in formation. It's a fact when a goose falls out of formation, it suddenly feels the drag and air resistance of our atmosphere. So it quickly gets back into formation to take advantage of the draft of the birds in front of it. If we'll do like geese do, we will stay in formation with those who are headed to where we want to go. And one of those ways that we can do that is by just being here today. Just being here. Just showing up. And let us consider how we may spur one another toward love of good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, we often use this scripture when we want to teach what God expects us as far as assembly. God expects us to come to church. Not giving up the meeting of together as some are in the habit of doing. Not forsaking the assembling as some in the manner of doing. That's the King James Version. I like the NIV here better. But sometimes we forget about the part of why. Why? Why does God want us to come here? To encourage one another. To spur one another on toward love and good works. To encourage one another. That's why. This morning we are assembled together to worship God. The word worship means to honor God with extreme love and submission. We do that when we sing songs of praise to Him, when we offer prayers of thanksgiving, when we partake of the Lord's Supper. But the thing is, we could do all these things at home. Yet God asks us to come together to do them. Why is that? The answer is in the passage. Sometimes geese will go it alone. They'll fly outside of formation. And when they do this, they feel all the resistance and drag that our atmosphere has to offer. And they quickly go back into formation. And when they do that, they're energized. Or they're re-energized as they go back into the flock. And that's why God wants us to assemble together. Throughout the week, we often go it alone. We face the world and all its trials and problems and temptations. But then when we come back together to assemble with the saints, to honor and worship God, we feel energized. Geese share their burdens with one another. It's a fact that when geese fly in formation and the lead goose gets tired, it rotates back into rotation. It rotates back into formation. And another goose flies to the point position. So they kind of take turns leading. What we can learn from that is we can accomplish much more in the Lord's church when we take turns doing hard tasks and when we share leadership. Like geese, we depend on each other. We all have different talents and gifts, and we depend on those gifts, for the Lord's body. We are to each do our part in the Lord's work. Paul writes in Ephesians, "But speaking the truth in love, may we grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." So this scripture is about growth of the church. I'm so proud to see our congregation grow. I've heard a lot of members say that to me. You know, I feel like we've grown. And I know they're not talking about just numbers either. You know, they're talking about spiritual growth. And that always causes the body to grow when that happens. So why is that? why is there growth in a church? What causes that? Is it the preaching? I do think Don does a great job with the lessons. I love our singing. I love to sing songs of praises to God. I think we have very devoted Bible class teachers. You know. Is that the reason why the church has grown? And I believe the answer to that is yes. But I think the main thing is, though, it's not just the preaching, it's not just the teaching, it's not just the singing. But the church grows because everyone does their part. Everyone does what they're supposed to do. There's no unimportant part of the church, of the Lord's church. Everybody has an important part to do. And when we do it, the church grows. According to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying itself in love. Geese encourage their leaders. It's a fact that when geese fly in formation, they honk. And the reason is to encourage those up front. It's probably not because they're complaining. Although we don't really know for sure. They may be complaining. I don't know. You're going the wrong way, stupid. No, probably not. Probably not. We'll assume the best. Our honking needs to be encouraging. There is nothing more thoughtless than, or more discouraging than, a few thoughtless words. The purpose of our words should be to encourage one another. But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by deceitfulness. When we speak words that without thought, we can harden somebody. We can cause them to sin. Well, I wouldn't want that on my shoulders. We have to be careful about what we think and what we say. Paul writes in Ephesians, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Be careful about our talk, our words. And finally, our final lesson this morning that we can learn from geese is that geese care about one another. It's a fact that when a goose gets wounded, that two geese will drop down out of formation and they'll take care of it. And they'll stay with that goose until it dies or it gets better and it flies back with the group. So what can we learn from that? If we'll do like geese do, we'll stand by each other. Not just when times are good. It's so easy to support one another when times are good, when things are going well. You know, but what do you do when it's difficult? Do you desert your friend, your brother? Or do you stand by him? If we do as much as geese will do, we will stand by our brothers and sisters, our friends, our family, when times get difficult. Two are better than one. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three stands is not quickly broken. And then Paul writes, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness and gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens. This passage says when we bear one another's burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ. There's some question about what that phrase, the law of Christ, means. But it's interesting that it doesn't say the laws of Christ, plural, because there are many commands that we are to obey. But it says the law of Christ. What does that mean? To me, it's as though God is telling me that there is one command that is more important than the others. One of the teachers of the law asked Jesus, of all the commandments, which is most important? The most important one, Jesus answered, is love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, there is no greater commandment than these. When I was a young man, about 20 years old, I wasn't raised in the church. I asked myself the question, what am I doing here? Why am I here on earth? What is the purpose of my existence? And at that time, I believed enough in God that I asked God, what do you want from me? You know, there's been a lot written about those questions. But if we believe the world and its view, the answer to those questions is to make lots of money. To become powerful, become famous, to be liked, to be well known. But that's not what God wants. When we boil it all down, what are we doing here? What is the purpose of our existence? I know the answer now. To love. To love God. To love the people around us. To love our family. To love our friends. To love our brethren. The world teaches us that we should do anything to get ahead. Do anything to make more money. We should work overtime. Ignore our family. Ignore our friends. We are number one. But God tells us to take care of our families. To watch out for our brethren. To care about our friends. To take time and see what's up with them. And to take care of them. By instinct, God gave geese the wisdom to succeed in their flight and migration. By God's word and his creation, God gives us the wisdom to succeed in our spiritual journey. Now I know what my life is for. My life is to love God and to love those who are around me. But why should we do that? You know, and I come to realize this more and more as I learn about God, how much he loves me. You know, when I was 20 years old, I realized a little bit. But the more and more I know about God, the more and more I know how much he loves me and how much he does for me and what he has done for me. But we should love God because he loved us first. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But we must believe it. God sacrificed his Son for our sins. He gave us so much. He gave us his most precious thing, his Son, so that we might have eternal life with him. But we must believe that. Some people don't believe it. We must believe it. We must believe it enough that we will obey God. We will do what he tells us to do. And not just be something we do on Sunday. And then for the rest of the week, we just do what we want to do. We have to believe that God gave his Son enough that we will make him a part of our life and do everything that he wants us to do. This morning, as is tradition, we always extend the Lord's invitation. It's just a way of encouraging people who haven't obeyed God yet, who haven't been baptized into Christ. God commands us to be baptized. If we will do that, then he forgives us of all of our past sin. We're talking about Rahab the harlot in Bible class this morning. Rahab the harlot is actually listed as one of the heroes, of the great heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Even though she was a harlot, she looked past her past life and she obeyed God. She did what God asked of her. And he forgave her of everything that she had ever done. Most of us here, we've done that. We've been baptized. And God has forgiven us of all of our sin. But sometimes we can get entangled with sin again. And we need help. John says, if we confess our sins to God, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. This morning we extend our invitation. The Lord invites you. If you've never obeyed God's commandment to be baptized for remission of sin, we encourage you to do that. Or if you've done that already and you find yourself entangled in sin, we ask that you might confess your sins. Let us pray for you and with you. If you've not done these things, we encourage and invite you to come forward as we sing the invitation song.